Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com. And welcome in our good friend Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com and Outkick 360 as well, that you can check out every day on 94.9 The Fan from 2 to 5 p.m. PK, what's going on? How are we doing?
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, PK, I want to get your thoughts on the Jeffrey Simmons situation, the hold-in or whatever you want to call it at Titans minicamp. If you're John Robinson and the Titans, knowing that he has 2 years left on his deal, are you making it a priority right now, if you're the Titans brass, to get him signed to a new deal? How would you handle the Jeffrey Simmons situation if you're the Titans?
I think it's a little dangerous to do anything right now. If you were to do something right now, any other guy who does big things in his first 3 years is going to come to you every time and present to you the cases of A.J. Brown and Jeffrey Simmons. And you're going to have trouble getting a fourth year out of anybody, whether he's a first round pick that's got a fifth year, or a pick that's in the second round or beyond who doesn't. And I think that's kind of a dangerous precedent. So, I mean, excuse me, his number is not good, obviously, but, you know, if he goes out and has another good year, which everybody expects, he'll completely forget about the $2.2 million after that, and he'll be treated fairly. Only guy around here that I can remember that's gotten an extension 2 years out was Jarrell Casey. But, you know, I could be wrong, and they could do something. But nobody from that draft class has gotten an extension yet. You know, Nick Bosa would be, you know, the main guy Worthy probably outside of Simmons. Kyler Murray, everybody's paying attention to. I don't think Worthy of it yet. If you do it, you're playing with fire, I think.
Yeah, see, I always struggle on that, like what it means to other guys, because I think of those things too. I mean, I guess I could make the case that if you're thinking about what message you're sending. First of all, sometimes I go back and forth because I'm also sometimes, Paul, like, does it really matter? Everybody has their own situation. Everybody knows what this business is. And you could take that route and say, well, now you're the Titans and you got into it with A.J. Brown. Didn't go well. You move him. Maybe it's the outcome you wanted, but still. Like, you moved him, and now in this situation you have someone who I think a lot of people would say is worthy of consideration here, but then you played hardball and didn't reward him. So does that hurt you in the eyes of other people in terms of what you do as an organization? I mean, I guess I would also say, Paul, if you do a deal now, couldn't you potentially get a more team-friendly deal than if you wait and he has a monster year and the cap keeps going up, et cetera, et cetera? Like, by doing it 2 years out, wouldn't that sort of be like that, look, we're going to do this, but at the same time, we're not going to talk about how you need to be right there with Aaron Donald?
You could, but I mean, you shouldn't be talking about how he needs to be right there with Aaron Donald anyway, because he shouldn't be right there with Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's an all-time great, and Jeffrey Simmons isn't as good as Aaron Donald. I think that should be a short conversation if he's looking for Aaron Donald money. I think he should come in below Aaron Donald. The same way that A.J. Brown shouldn't have come in, you know, with not that they're, you know, all, not that they're Marvin Harrison or anything, but the same way that A.J. Brown shouldn't have come in, you know, I don't think, with Davante Adams or Tyreek Hill. But you raise all the good points on the other side. And for sure there's a debate to be had there. I wish he was a little bit more clear. I respect that he stood up there and talked about it, but it's kind of weird to say, you know, I'm here to play football and my group is going to take care of me when he's not playing football. And I think very clearly it was a hold in during minicamp. And he says, you know, I'm going to be here for training camp, but he could be there for training camp and do the same thing he did for minicamp, which is not participate.
So how do you think this plays out? What do you think happens?
Yeah, I it's pure speculation. You know, I don't know. I think at minicamp time, I don't think the team was wild about the idea of extending him, but that's 6 weeks of time for them to conclude otherwise, and I don't know that it's set in stone one way or the other for them. We've just laid out both sides of why to do it or why not to do it, and I think I think it could go either way. I mean, the 2.2 is very small, but you know the massive contract. I'd be wary of doing it 2 years out.
Paul Kaharsky on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Paul, obviously it's been a very eventful offseason for Ryan Tannehill since the Cincinnati game. Malik Willis has been drafted. You have all these things going on. A.J. Brown on the move. In your mind, what has to happen from Tannehill's point of view this year to convince you that he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Titans in 2023? Is it a statistical number? Is it a playoff win? What convinces you that he's back as the starter in 2023?
Well, he's got to win playoff game for sure, and maybe more than that. But I think our standard and their standard, Titans brass, is probably different. And I think they like him more than the general population likes him, more than the media likes him in terms of that. I wrote a little bit this week about that. Like, I watched him pretty closely at minicamp for times. From the leadership factor, you know, during installation and stuff. And, you know, there are issues with Ryan Tannehill in terms of the turnovers, in terms of the, you know, heck, they had 10 games last year where they didn't throw for 200 yards. I don't think he's got, you know, without A.J. Brown, obviously there's a lack of an explosive dynamic. We don't know for sure what Derrick Henry's going to be. And I think it's more about potential for new injury and those two holes on the offensive line and the lack of somebody to take anybody out of the box in that passing game. But I'm not concerned with his leadership or his understanding of the scheme or any of that stuff. I think, you know, I could very easily see the season kind of being moot and them hosting a home playoff game and it being all about, can he win that playoff game? But, I mean, they're looking to win more than one playoff game. And is he going to win four playoff games? He's not going to win four playoff games in the stacked AFC. So there's a limitation there. The question is, you know, do they have somebody else or a path to win those four playoff games? So what happens with Malik Willis in the background this year and all of that? But I think that they feel like they've got stability at the position with a guy who can get them in position consistently where they can go on a run in the postseason like they did in 2019. And I think they value that more than the rest of us who are saying, yeah, but what about when you get there?
Yeah, well, I agree. I think he looked good. I think he's doing everything you want him to do. I question whether he has enough support around him, as you laid out there. But another part of that question, obviously, is Malik Willis. What's your post-spring view of him? Did you see progress? You know, we're going to find out so much, I think, in the next, you know, a few weeks from now and on into the season. But what's your feeling right at this moment on him?
Yeah, I think he made some progress with some basic stuff, but you know, they're still talking about operating the huddle well and the mechanics, the process, all of that stuff. It's going to be a long, slow process, you know, and for the people who are going to, you know, call for Malik Willis when Tannehill throws a couple picks in week four, it's just not going to work that way, I don't think. And I think, you know, he's an experiment to a degree. What he was doing at Liberty is not anything close to what he's going to need to do in the NFL. And, you know, I think a year from now, or at the end of this season, you do they'll do a big check-in to see if they think he's the next guy or not. But I don't think that that's a definite yes by any means. You have to wait and see what becomes of him. But there are plenty of people that didn't think he was, obviously, he didn't think he was going to be that guy. And, you know, the Titans, I don't even think the Titans necessarily believed he was going to be that guy. They just thought he was too good of a value to pass up with the second pick in the third round. So we'll see. And then, of course, we're all really curious. Are they going to keep three active on game day? Are they going to is he going to be good enough that they can keep him as the second on game day? I certainly can't imagine that early in the season.
Well, Paul, great stuff as always. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and we're looking forward to talking to you every week here on Robbie and Rex Show.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it, and I appreciate you carving out that time slot for me.
Absolutely. Paul Kaharsky, our guest, every Wednesday at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check out his work at paulkaharsky.com and, of course, on Outkick 360 every day on 94.9 The Fan, 2 to 5 p.m. here in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in Friday through Sunday for the following races at the Nashville Super Speedway. Friday, the Rackley Roofing 200 at 6:30. Saturday, the Tennessee Lottery 250 at 2 o'clock. And, of course, the Ally 400 coming up on Sunday at 3 o'clock. You can join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for the racing weekend as well. By the way, Chase McCabe going to be doing a little PA work this weekend at Nashville Super Speedway as well. So that'll be fun.
The voice of Chase McCabe, just gripping Nashville and the nation.
It is. NASCAR on 102.5, 106.3 The Game is presented by the Backyard Blues Pools, Tootsie's Infield Club, Nashville Super Speedway, and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway as well. Thanks to Paul Kaharsky for joining us in the last segment. Going to look forward to him joining us every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. So looking forward to that and looking forward to, inevitably, you and he yelling at each other.
Well, what is he going to be, nice guy now?
I don't know. He was nice last segment.
Calmly just talking. He had all these opportunities to take a shot at me.
He said you had some good points.
All these opportunities. Yeah. What's up with that?
Just
I might cancel the weekly. Switch. I might cancel the weekly, Kaharsky, if you don't
just
start.
Just luring you in?
Yeah, maybe that's
he's
it.
He's going to bounce.
Maybe that's it. I know that I'm supposed to go to a meadery soon with him and Glennon. Hey. Get some mead. See if it'll upset my gout.
Hope not.
It'll be a good test of the gout.
It will.
What's that look? You know
you're
that
going to a where?
So there is a meadery in town where they make mead. So these guys always joke at my expense because I had a gout attack. They're like, drinking your mead, like eating your big pieces of meat and, you know, whatever. So we're actually going to go. I don't think I've ever actually had mead. Mead, you know, it's like a medieval honey-based
it's got like honey in it, yeah.
Drink. Okay? So apparently, like, when kings of yore got gout, they were drinking their mead and eating, you know, cake or whatever.
I thought you said meatery. And I'm like, you're going to just a place that makes meat? Like, what?
You want a butcher shop?
And you get the meat sweats or the mead sweats or both. Both can lead to gout.
Both can lead to gout, yes.
Good stuff.
Well, I wish you good luck in your endeavor.
Yeah, anyway, Paul, yeah. Next time, you better come. Yeah, come on. I'm right here, man. Take some shots. Let's go.
You're going to Lexingville for this, or is this somewhere around here?
We're trying to get some good sound that we can capture for Paul so we can put together a tape. So when it's time for Stilly and Pauly to make their pitch, you know, we've got the goods. It's going to be a great show.
Liam on the text line says, Joe, I think it's going to be on you to kick off those Kaharsky segments with something really contentious. He's at his best when his blood pressure gets into dangerous levels. It's coming from Liam on the text line.
Well, I can't manufacture things. So if I'm actually I do keep forgetting to rip Paul for his Dylan Radin suite. Remind me next week. Remind me to bring up the Dylan Radin suite. That was the classic Paul Kaharsky as Cindy Brady in the media. Much as I rip Grizzlies media for their homerishness, It's like the I'm all for anti-homerishness, which is Paul, which I very much respect.
Sure.
But this like hall monitor, Titans fans, look at his tweet. Do you like this tweet?
I love it.
Remind me. I keep forgetting. That could have been good. I could have done it this week.
Well, next Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Yeah. That's what right. We'll lead off with.
There we go.
That's right. Joe, what do you make of, we threw this question out to Paul. Let's throw it to you. What does Ryan Tannehill have to do in your mind to convince the Titans? Forget fans. Forget us. Convince the Titans that he should be the starting quarterback in 2023. Because I think some of this obviously has to do with, okay, how do they view Malik Willis as they move forward here? That's a part of it that we may not know.
Huge part of it, yeah.
But on the field, what does Ryan Tannehill have to do this year to convince the Titans that he should be the guy again in 2023?
Well, on the first part of that, this my opinion. I could be wrong, but you know, I still think it would be awfully impressive / surprising to me if Malik Willis, after this year, is like the Titans are like, oh, he needs to be starting in 2023. If that's the case, jackpot on that pick. But as Kaharsky pointed out, you know, there is a reason he fell to the third round. There are a lot of questions about whether Malik Willis will be a starter in the NFL, period. Like, stop it right there. So let's say it's not the, to me, kind of impressively surprising scenario where Malik Willis is just blowing them away and they're like, okay, this guy needs to be our quarterback next year. If it's not that, I mean, Tannehill could have a year like last year, maybe not have a disaster in the postseason. Wherever they, first of all, we're just assuming postseason, which I think is probably a leap anyway. Like they're going to have to work to make the playoffs, and I have questions about that. I mean, I've got them in the playoffs without winning the division, but I think it's going to be close. But let's say they get to the playoffs. He has a good year, and they lose, but, you know, it's not like he's not like like the problem. This year was so – I mean, look, it was totally fair. Everybody was – arrows pointed at Tannehill, and they should have been. I mean, he totally botched that game. But let's say he has a pretty good year. They lose in the playoffs at some point. Maybe they win a game. Let's say they win a game. Let's say they win a game. He plays pretty well, but it's like Derrick Henry carrying the mail and the defense, and they win 20-17. They lose a game, and he's okay, but he's not like the problem. I mean, if Malik Willis isn't just banging down the door to be your starter, are you sure that you're moving on from Tannehill in 23? It may not be popular, but like you can – easily go worse at that position. It's very hard. Well, it's not hard to be better than what he was against Cincinnati.
No.
But it's very hard in general to get a lot better than him. That's what everybody's trying to do in this league. It's very easy to be worse than him at the position, which I know a lot of people don't want to hear, but I think that's reality.
Well, the interesting part of this, because I agree, like a lot of this comes down to how they view Malik Willis. So let's say Tannehill goes out this year. He's okay in the regular season. And they are one and done in the playoffs, and you're in the same scenario where maybe he doesn't play as bad as he did last year against Cincinnati, but he doesn't play well enough to lead you to a win in the playoffs. The conversation with the fans is going to be the same. All right, how much more do you need to see from this guy? He can't get it done in the playoffs. That's going to be what it is. That's what we're going to talk about on the show. You know, if you're the Titans, it's like, okay, well, that's great. We don't think this guy's ready. And if you're making the playoffs, you're probably not going to be in a bad enough draft position where you're – you know, drafting one of the quarterbacks that you feel great about moving forward either. So I will say the one thing that's different now about the NFL over the last couple of years is there's just a lot more movement, quarterback movement. And I have no clue what quarterback could be available. I mean, Brady is in the last year of his contract.
Oh,
I will say that. But, I mean, that's to me more of a realistic option now. Not Brady specifically, but just another quarterback that's an established veteran out there is more of a possibility, I think, now in today's NFL than it was 5-10 years ago.
Well, let's say, you know, great point, no doubt. And there will be other options because people give up on them faster. And I just feel like there are a lot of kind of fringe, decent quarterbacks out there. And obviously, there's never a ton of great ones. It's just, there never are. But let's say that right now, or this offseason, the Titans actually had the same financial situation as a year from now with Tannehill, where you can get out of it. It'll hurt, but it's not completely prohibitive. If you're a Titans fan, if you're John Robinson, would you be looking at a Baker Mayfield to come in for him? Would you be looking at a Jimmy Garoppolo as an alternative to Ryan Tannehill right now?
Probably not.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I just don't think there's much difference.
And I like Baker Mayfield clearly more than some people do.
Yeah. You like him better than I do. But yeah. I just don't think there's a ton of difference. If Baker, let's say he lived up to his upside. Is his upside better than Tannehill? Probably. Is his upside, based on what you've seen from him in the NFL so far, good enough to convince you that he's the guy that could lead you to a Super Bowl? I don't know about that.
Well, I think he's like Tannehill and a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, again, Jimmy G makes one throw that's right there for him that he has made many times, and he wins the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Jimmy G's been to the Super Bowl. So I think Tannehill and Mayfield are in that same group with them. Cousins, these quarterbacks who some have been deep, some haven't, they're going to be very dependent on their surroundings. They're not going to drag an average bunch there, but you don't want to have an average bunch. I mean, the Titans never looked at this like, Tannehill, just give it to Tannehill, get out of the way. He's going to lead us there. So I just look at them kind of the same way, but I agree. I would not go with Baker because, one, I do think the immaturity is a little bit of something. I think Tannehill, again, is a good leader. I think Jimmy Garoppolo, there's all positive feedback on him in that way, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be closer for me. I'd be closer on Jimmy G. But
can you imagine Vrabel putting up with Baker Mayfield? Like Baker Mayfield as is. I'm not saying Baker can't grow and maybe doesn't learn something from this time in Cleveland, but Baker Mayfield as is with Vrabel, that'd be something.
That could be some good sideline stuff. Yeah, like Vrabel just putting him in a suplex on the sideline. Yeah, that actually, I'd sign up for that. From our perspective, yeah. I'd sign up for it. But I think Ryan Tannehill as the – again, I'll call these shots. Joe Milton, Tennessee starting quarterback 2023. Ryan Tannehill, Tennessee Titans starting quarterback 2023. Everybody get angry.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on Tannehill coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Tomorrow, 102.5 The Game will be out at Nissan Stadium in the South Plaza from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. as Monster Jam is set to announce something big. Also, Monster Jam is partnered with Second Harvest Food Bank and is hosting a community food drive to support Nashville families facing hunger. For every 5 non-perishable items donated, fans will receive 1 complimentary ticket to this Saturday's Monster Jam event coming up at Nissan Stadium. Tickets available for the first 250 donations on site. While supplies last, a limit of 4 complimentary vouchers per family/household. For more information, visit monsterjam.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I'm getting some gout advice.
Are you?
My guy Pogue says, when I owned a restaurant, I ate grilled salmon and asparagus. Thought I was eating healthy, but both contribute to gout. Eat cherries and cherry juice. I've heard about the cherries and cherry juice. I did not know about asparagus. I love asparagus. Dang it. But yeah, it's like fish. It's like shellfish in particular. Beer and red meat. So, yeah. Thanks a lot, gout. But maybe mead will be good, too. Well,
maybe. JC in Goodlettsville in the text line says, Chris Farley, as a lunch lady, had a bad case of the gout.
That's right. That's right.
Well, anytime you can be compared
Bill
to Chris
Shakespeare
Farley.
Over here, eh?
Anytime you can be compared to Chris Farley, I guess it's a good thing.
That's right. Dad, I can't see too good. Is that Bill Shakespeare?
I got a text that says, now Stillman's going to be on a Brady kick, talking about Brady's contract with the Bucks being up after this year.
He's always on a Brady kick. Like every single time, he's like, I was watching the Pats documentary, Man in the Arena. Have you guys heard of that one? I go to sleep to it every night.
I was reading this book on Brady.
God. Get over it, man.
He loved Brady just about as much as you hate him.
I don't hate Brady at all. Stop it. Yeah, Brady's great, man. He's the GOAT.
He is.
Exactly. Well, I mean, Who hates him?
Don't ask Bart Scott. Bart Scott from ESPN came out the other day and said, yeah, Peyton Manning. I'd much rather play against Tom Brady than Peyton Manning.
Yeah. He said, like, he feared Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
Well, I think Peyton Manning probably had the best quarterback play I've ever seen, but you can't argue with the achievements. You certainly can't argue with the longevity, right? Goat, man. Goated. Sorry, Bart. He's goated.
Mason,
love some Brady.
Mason on YouTube says, if the Titans win the Super Bowl, I hope they trash talk their way through the whole run. It makes it even more fun. So I guess a call back to the Warriors trash talking their way in the championship run that they've had.
I mean, fired if they won a Super Bowl. How much
trash talk is he doing?
Well, just how much of like the doubters will be
will
be brought up.
Vrabel trash talk.
Well, I can tell you this.
Vrabel trash talk the media if they win it all, but Lawan will be good.
If
they were to win it all, boy, would Lawan be funny.
Well, we talked about like what's it gonna take for Ryan Tannehill to be the starting quarterback in 2023. If he wins him a Super Bowl, I'm here to tell you, bold prediction, he'll be the quarterback in 2023.
You may be onto something there. Actually, you know, Lawan actually might have – he could maybe get into Ovechkin-Draymond parade territory. So that would be another reason it would be worthwhile here for the Titans to win it all.
Jump in the river?
Man, you don't want to jump in that river.
He might jump in the river and grab a like a catfish with his mouth, you know? I wouldn't put anything past him.
Go noodling? You ever seen that?
No.
Noodling for catfish? Just look it up. It's awesome.
Okay. I do know cheese rolling, though. I noticed that you tweeted about cheese rolling. Cheese rolling is something else,
it's
man.
It's a classic sporting event. I would say, you know, so much of this is, you know, how does Malik Willis develop? I'm so interested to see the way that he plays in the preseason, and they're going to keep working with him throughout the regular season as well. So, I mean, they very well, they'll have a good idea of where he is. And the skill set that he brings to the table, but they may not know if he's going to be the guy after this year. I think there's a certain amount of information that you have to learn on the field in game settings as well. So I'm interested to see what happens from that standpoint. You know, I had the bold prediction a few weeks ago that Tannehill will not be the starting quarterback in 2023. Like, I think it's going to take a playoff win, and I just don't know if they're going to be able to get there this year in the AFC with the way that it is. With their offense, the way that it looks right now, their defense is great.
But that's not on Tannehill.
Well, it's not, but that's the thing. How often do we see quarterbacks pay the price for that?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I'll be really surprised if he has some huge turnaround in performance, or, you know, like his numbers are vastly different or better than last year.
I don't think his numbers are going to be that much different. The interceptions can be cut down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't turn the football over as much.
You can't. Of course, if you're constantly under siege because you have two non-starters starting on your offensive line, and then, as Kaharski pointed out, you don't have anybody who scares anybody out of the box, and then what if Derrick Henry's not great? You know, you can go down the rabbit hole.
There's a scenario where it
could
be bad.
This offense being kind of not good. But, that's the thing. It's like, if it's a so-so year, he's okay. They get in, they don't have much success. It depends on who else would be available, but I think there'd be a lot of just changing for the sake of changing that would be on the table at that point. Great. Hey, if you can get someone great, okay, fine. Like this year when we were talking about Aaron Rodgers, it was never realistic, but okay, that's a discussion. Someone like that. But it probably would be someone more in the Tannehill realm. And look, I mean, he's, like him or not, he is a very good leader on this team. And there's something to be said for that, too, for some continuity at that position. Someone that you kind of know what you're getting with him. He took a step back last year. Some of it was not of his doing. There's no defending the playoff performance.
No. And, you know, I think the offense has a chance to be not very good this year. If they still make the playoffs, which is a big if, as you talked about, you know, it's still going to come down to what does he do in that playoff game for the fan base. Now, I do wonder how much of the way that the fans feel and the way that we in the media feel, how much does that represent the way that Mike Vrabel and John Robinson feel about Ryan Tannehill? Because ultimately, that's what matters. Like, how do those two feel about Ryan Tannehill? I mean, obviously, you know, they listen to fans, they listen to everything, but those are the two guys making the decision at the end of the day of who the quarterback is.
No doubt. And it's not necessarily always the case that they even agree.
Yeah.
I feel like Vrabel's a fan of Tannehill. And I think Vrabel is a fan also relative to his predecessor. Look, Vrabel played on some of the greatest teams, won championships let's be just totally honest about Tom Brady. No matter what you think, the guy is a incredible competitor, leader, all that. So that was Vrabel's experience with him as his quarterback. And he came in here in Mariota, while I think there are a lot of admirable traits, he didn't have that voice that I think Vrabel wanted. And at times Vrabel kind of let that known. He tried to not say it much, but at times it let it know. And I think he loved the transition to Tannehill. And I think that Tannehill, as a better leader and better player, obviously, had so much to do with, think of the turnaround in 2019. Huge turnaround. Those guys can't look at their past few years and where things have gone and not give a ton of the credit to Ryan Tannehill. They know that. It doesn't mean that they're going to stick with him past when they should, but I think that they're fans of him. So, that said, they were standing there watching him throw those picks too. And ultimately, if a guy loses his confidence, I can't look at that game as anything other than someone shrinking in the moment.
Yep.
And at some point, you're like, well, love the guy, good player, everything you want as leader, but if that's what he's going to be in those moments, then what are we doing?
Well, I hope he's a good mentor this year. I hope he mentors really well this year. You want to go back down that road?
Sure. I say it's supposed to be choice is yours next, but if you'd like, we could revisit mentoring.
Let's do that. Coming up next, it is time for the choice is yours, Joe Rexrode in the question chair. We'll get to that next. Take your thoughts as well, as always, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road in the questions chair today. Joe Rex Road, I turn things over to you.
All right, sports or non-sports?
Let's go non-sports.
Non-sports. I asked this question because Katie and I are doing Dave Matthews soon, which is our summer ritual. And we've been tracking the set list because there's two songs in particular we want to hear. And we're hoping that he plays them, but I don't know if he will or not. But it made me think of this question. The deal breaker song for you, your favorite band or one of your favorite bands, where if it's part of the show or if it's not, there's a huge difference in the quality of the show to you. Like, it's just a deal breaker for you. Like, if this band is not going to play this song, and maybe they don't all the time and they do sometimes, it's a very convoluted asking the question, but you get what I'm saying.
Well, if Creed doesn't play Higher, I'm probably not showing up.
Well, they play nine times, don't they? here's our jazz version of Can You Tear Me Higher. Play some jazz with it. So I think you're good there.
Yeah. That's a good one. So is that it for you? Dave Matthews is the one for you? There a particular song?
I'll go with mine first. So, yeah, Two Step and Number 41. And some Dave Matthews fans may be like, no, we're sick of those. But they don't always play them. And when they do play them, we go nuts because, like, those are just my two favorite songs. And then they play those songs. They usually have, like, 12-minute jam sessions. So, but also, I would say Foo Fighters, Stacked Actors, which is our theme song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, to me, it has to be part of a Foo Fighters show. I know their last tour, they didn't play it, which is not cool.
That is not cool.
That's what comes to mind for me.
I'm a big
Michelle,
Shine
which
down.
One Direction song do you absolutely have to hear?
That's right.
I'll let Robbie go next.
I'm a big Shine Down guy.
Okay.
Love me some Shine Down. The Crow and the Butterfly. Love that song.
The Crow and the Butterfly. Yeah. Is it one that they would like?
They usually play it.
Okay. Okay.
Not always.
But if they didn't, but not always.
They usually play it.
Okay. So if they did, if they didn't, that would be, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Michelle.
Okay. So I go through music phases, right?
Some interesting ones.
Yeah. Boy bands, all that stuff. But I'm going to go a little off the grid here, and I feel like you guys are going to be like, whoa, she's very cultured with her music taste when I say this. And I know that he has since died, but...
Beethoven, the fifth?
Yeah, that classical one. No, Kenny Rogers, if I ever got to see him in concert, which I love him, he needs to have Dolly Parton come out. It needs to be a surprise, and he needs to sing Island in the Stream.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, Island in the Stream, yes.
It's good stuff.
Yes, okay. Yeah, that would be... Yeah, I got you there. Okay. All right, sports. To follow up on last week, Vanderbilt fans screaming at me. In the next 5 years, pick the program that will have more success. More SEC success, more NCAA tournament success, at everything. Tennessee baseball or Vanderbilt baseball. 5 years from now, we're going to look back and say this was the better program in the past 5 years.
Man, that's tough because I think some Vols fans are really going way too far with like the downfall of Tim Corbin and the Vanderbilt baseball program. You know, obviously Vanderbilt fans are having fun with Tennessee losing to Notre Dame in the Super Regional. Man, I will give, just because I have a pretty good idea of what their pitching staff's going to look like next year and probably for the next couple of years, I will give the slight edge to Tennessee. I just think the pitching – he's more of a known commodity for them moving forward. So I will give the slight edge to Tennessee. But I think it's going to be real close.
Yeah, I think it's also going to be really close. But I'm going to go opposite Robbie and give a slight edge to Tim Corbin as far as postseason success, just because we've seen so much of it. And then Tennessee having one of their best teams ever, arguably one of the best teams in college baseball ever. And, you know, not being able to kind of get over that hump this year. So I'm going to give the slight edge to Tim Corbin and Vandy. No surprise there.
It's a very tough one. Very tough one. Because I think that Vitello is going to take full advantage of the portal. And he's recruiting like crazy. And they're going to be really good. I don't. This whole the scholarship thing or things being equalized, to me, it's been overblown for years on what that means. It's meant for Vanderbilt, what it will mean moving forward. They're going to have great teams. I'm going to go with Vanderbilt just because of the track record. That's the same thing basically as Michelle. Like, there's been just so many examples of Corbin taking teams deep that I'm going to stick with that and give them the slight edge, but it is really close, really, really close.
The return of Vandy Joe.
That's right. And so now Vanderbilt fans can stop screaming at me. Ball Twitter, bring it on.
That's right.
Okay, your peak chip and dip combination.
Ooh.
So many, and again, this could also be, by the way, it could be like pretzels and something or okay. Whatever. So bagged crunchy things and dip. If you're on a desert island the rest of your life and you can only pick one, what is it?
Mine comes to mind pretty quickly. Chewy's creamy jalapeno dip. It's amazing. Mm. So the tortilla chips and then the creamy jalapeno dip from Chewy's. It is maybe the greatest thing on the earth.
I think I've definitely had that. Yeah.
It's pretty unbelievable.
Pretty addictive. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I did think about just your classic go to the grocery store French onion dip and just dip some regular Ruffles in there.
Yes.
I mean, it's pretty good. But I will go creamy jalapeno dip from Chewy's.
Okay, mine was also very easy. Chips and dip, I think, are my favorite food ever on this entire earth. But, no, seriously, that over dessert any day for me. I'm going to go with a traditional Tostito scoop.
Okay.
And then for my dip, it's not one that you can buy, but shout out my grandma, has the most legendary dip ever. It's called Taco Mountain. And essentially, it's like a cream cheese taco cheese and then all these veggies chopped up on the top of it, and we only make it and have it during holidays, so maybe that's what makes it so amazing. But I could eat an entire tray of that, hands down. Favorite dip, Taco
Mountain. Sounds pretty good.
God, see, now you guys are, now that you're getting into specifics, I'm like, ah. Because my answer is just basically corn chips and really good salsa, but with if you can throw the guac in too. And also, like, I think queso's overrated. We go to this place.
What?
Like, I know. Well,
I agree, though.
But I prefer, like,
what is wrong with you two?
Maybe it's because we go to this place and my family, we always get, like, the huge order of it. And I don't touch it. I just go with, like, if it's really good salsa, they have really good salsa, too. I'm all about that. Maybe it's also just the gout talking, like, lay off the queso. But actually, if you're going to get specific, my Aunt Mary's cowboy caviar, which I don't even know everything that's in it, but it's crazy.
That sounds good. Fun.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, basically, it's like corn. It's a Mexican, you know, like, dip type thing, Mexican food dip. I mean, it's like corn and beans, like black beans and guac and peppers and jalapenos chopped up.
Let's have a dip party and bring all our dips.
My gosh, right? Okay, last one. Sports more likely in 2023 to kind of follow up on some of our conversations. More likely in 2023, Ryan Tannehill as Titans starter, Joe Milton as Vols starter, Tom Brady as Dolphins starter.
Oof. All right, I will put Joe Milton in dead last place on that one.
Okay. You got Nico just coming right in.
I got Nico coming in to start.
Okay.
I will put Joe Milton in last place on that one. For a variety of fronts, I think Nico's going to come in and start, some of which is
a collective.
Some money that may be involved.
Boy, that's problematic if you're a coach. But anyway.
It is very problematic. Look, I think there's a good chance Brady could be the quarterback of the Dolphins. I will say Tannehill as the starter is the most likely because, you know, I guess Brady could retire. He could win the Super Bowl this year, and he could call it quits. I really want to go Brady, but I'll go Tannehill. Tannehill's the starter in 2023, but I am – ask me again at the end of the segment, and I might switch to Brady.
See, I'm going to go Tannehill as well, but I really don't see Brady going to Miami and being the starter. So I'm going to have that one last and then Joe Milton in the middle. But I think Tannehill. I think Brady stays with the Bucs for like three more years.
I really want to say Milton won.
I know you do.
Do it.
But it's going to be a clean sweep on Tannehill. It's just the most – I mean, he's the one of the three who has the job right now, so
yeah.
He has the inside track to keep the job. Man, that Joe Milton, I tell you what. And the Brady thing would be amazing. I have no idea. That's probably last for me, too. The Milton thing, if you as a coach are just like, so this guy's been in my system for 2 years. We think the world of his ability. He's been fantastic. He has been a great teammate. He's hung in there, and he's ready to be really good. And if you as a coach think all those things, which I do think is true, but you know you have a big-time recruit coming in, big-time recruit, big expectations, big conversations all around the recruit. If you make the decision based on that, I think you're going down a bad road as a coach.
I just think he might come in and be better,
too. Well, me might. if that's the case, what a recruit for Tennessee. Because, I mean –
Joe, you're just trying to make this happen. You know the Mean Girls movie? Stop trying to make fetch happen.
No.
Stop trying to make fetch happen, Joe.
I swear to you, I didn't even...
Joe's coming in tomorrow with a Milton for Heisman 2023 shirt on.
I swear to you, I totally wasn't even thinking about Joe Milton until I talked to them. I swear to you. And I am a believer that they are believers. But we'll see. Not Keith, believers.
Keith on the text line says, for the love of God, Rex Road, move on from Milton. It's not going to happen. It's not like it's his first year of ever playing quarterback. It's coming from Keith on the text line.
Okay. I take all the hate right now. I'll take all the hate. And then next year, when everybody's like, wow, why is Milton getting all the ones reps? Oh, my God.
Joe Milton just threw for 600 yards.
Let me tell you how much trash I'm going to talk to all of you. I'm going to go Draymond on all of you.
I would love to see that.
Ugh.
I'm not going to say, like, bleep Nico. Don't get me wrong.
Yes. You know? Get out of here, kid. This has been The Choice Is Yours. Well done, Joe Rexrode.
Thank you.
Even though your take on queso is horrendous.
The Milton queso takes are hot today.
They're spicy on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning. Coming up next, we'll react to the Norris Trophy voting from last night. Roman Josi finishing in second place. Was he robbed? And Why, there's one part of this story that just drives me nuts. We'll get to that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.